I thought you guys would enjoy that. We had an awesome marriage retreat. We had a wonderful time. If you were not there, you missed out. What can I tell you? Go ahead and mark your calendars right now. September 18th to 20th. We're going to go back to Winship next year. And I already have the confirmation. Our guest speakers are going to be Sam and Cynthia Powell from the New York City Church of Christ. Sam and Cynthia are going to be coming down next year to do our marriage retreat. So once we announce, you better get in there and register very quickly. Amen? We're going to do that starting in January. You don't want to miss it. How are we doing? I heard the kids did awesome last week. I saw the video. It was awesome. Nothing thrills me more than to know that all this stuff we're all about right now, we've got to pass it on to our children so that they can have an incredible impact on their generation. That's what this is all about. You know, we're all headed towards heaven, and that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. The title of my lesson is Heaven Beckons. Everything you and I do on a daily basis is designed to get us to our destination. Amen? I don't know about you. Death ain't the end for me. Death is not the end for a Christian. Every single one of us, we will spend eternity somewhere. Are you with me? And we got to make sure that we're close to God. We got to make sure that all the decisions that we're making right now is getting us closer to that destination. But before I get into my lesson, there are two brothers that had birthdays this week that are milestones. And I'm going to ask them to stand up. And we're going to sing the traditional happy birthday to them. Danny Emmett turned 50 this week. Go ahead, stand up and remain standing. But our brother Guy Robeson, our teacher, turned 60 this week. So let's sing happy birthday. Hold on. I'm the song leader. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Danny and Gary. Happy birthday to you. We love you both. Happy birthday. And also this week, we had three young men from the Gwinnett College get baptized into Christ. I'd like for Malachi Groover, Robert French, and Francisco Sanchez to go ahead and stand up. They're right here. Welcome to the kingdom of God. In John chapter 1, beginning verse 15, the Bible says, John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Verse 18. No one has ever seen God. But God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. This passage is obviously talking about Jesus. It talks about how Jesus came into this world, and as a result, you and I, we have one blessing after the other. And then it goes on to talk about how Moses gave us the law, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And it says, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Think about that for a second. John writes, no one has ever seen God except Jesus, basically. So where's Abraham? Where's Moses? You see, they've not seen God's face yet, according to Scripture. Jesus came down from heaven to make God known to us, to show us the way back to God. Are you with me? Yes, a lot of righteous people have died and gone before us, but technically, they have not seen God yet. That day hasn't happened yet. Are you with me? No one has ever seen God. He's in heaven right now. You say, where's Abraham? Where's Moses? Where's Elijah? Where are all these guys? They're in a place called paradise. When righteous people die, when they leave this earth, they go on to paradise. People who do not know God go to Hades. And they're waiting there until the trumpet, until the last trumpet. Then we're all going to rise and face God. Then at that point, those who are righteous will get a chance to go to the new Jerusalem, the new heaven. Are you listening to me? That's when we're going to see God's face. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. That is what gets me out of bed in the morning, every day. That one day I get to see the face of God. That's what keeps me going. No matter the trials, no matter the hardships, no matter the challenges, you and I have an incredible inheritance waiting for us. Amen? It's amazing. The word heaven appears in the NIV 422 times. Now, that's a lot of times. That is a lot of references. The word heaven is mentioned in almost every single book in the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Amen? Now, let me ask you a question. If this is where you are going to spend eternity, how much research have you done to find out what it's going to be like? Or are you just thinking about this world? Come on. I'm sorry, if you're lucky, you get 80 years on this earth. Yep. Are you with me? Yeah. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. You know, when you want to go somewhere and you're visiting a place for the first time, if you're smart, you will go look it up. All right? You will go find a little bit about where you're going to go. It will make things go a lot smoother. Especially in this world, if you're going somewhere and you're going to do some research, when you get over there, you may get some surprises. Are you with me? The McCurdy's are about to celebrate, is it 25 years? Yeah, 25 years of married life. Guess where they're going? They're going to Paris, and they're going to London. Okay? He did some research. They've already mapped out all the places they're going to go, the hotels they're going to stay, what they're going to do. They've never been there before. I asked him if he could take me, but he said no. But it's all right. They're going to have a great time. You see, that's what you do when you've never been somewhere before. You go do some research. You go find out about the place. And I think too many times we're so bogged down with the worries of this life, and we forget about where we're going to spend eternity. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, no eye has seen, no ear has heard,
No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is going to blow your mind. Church, get ready to be impressed. I don't know about you again. You know, when I see something for the first time, I usually go, wow. I believe that's a phrase, that's a word you and I are going to be saying several times a day when we get to the other side. First of all, we show up and you're walking on gold. That's going to be wow. Check this out. That's just the street. Then you're going to turn around the corner, you're going to go, wow, look at, oh, did you see that? Wow, I can do that. I can do this. Check this out. That's what's going to be like every single day, every single moment. Heaven beckons, church. What is it that keeps you going? What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? Heaven forbid it's your job. Now, don't get me wrong. You need to get up and go to work. It can't be that. It cannot even be your kids. It cannot even be your family. It's got to be God. It's got to be heaven. Amen, church? You see, when we leave this place, every human is going to end up in one or two places. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, you can write the reference down. The Bible talks about how hell was created for the devil and his angels. God didn't create hell for us. If anything, he sent Jesus into this world to die for us so that we won't go to where the devil is headed. Are you listening to me? In Ezekiel 18, God over and over talks about how I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, rather that they repent. That's why Jesus came, so that we will not end up in hell. Are you with me? Well, you see, God lays down very clear conditions for you and I to be able to make it to heaven. Using Romans 3:23, again, just write the reference down. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. There is not a single man or woman in here who's perfect. Far from it. We're all unrighteous, ungodly men and women. Every human. We could never do enough good to deserve to go to heaven. You could never give enough money to the poor or go serve in the, you know, and do some charity work to deserve to go to heaven. I'm sorry. You're going to be in for a big disappointment. Salvation is a gift. You can't work for it. You can't do enough good to deserve it. It's a gift that we all need to accept. Are you with me? So, heaven is not a place where you and I can walk our way towards. In other words, if I can just have enough quiet times, if I share my faith with enough people, if I do this, if I give more money to the church, then I somehow I'm going to make it. Wrong. You got it all backwards. Are you with me? Now, we share our faith with people because we are saved. We give money so that the gospel can spread because we are saved. We love one another because we are saved. It's not because we're trying to earn our salvation. Are you listening to me? But you see, none of us can deserve to go to heaven because Ephesians 2 talks about how we are all saved by grace. We cannot do anything to get there. However, to get to heaven, there are certain conditions that God laid out. Are you with me? Luke chapter 9. To me, there's some very basic conditions. I'm assuming everybody in here wants to go to heaven, right? I'm not ever going to ask the question because I know the answer. If not, you would not be seated here. Luke chapter 9, in verse 23. Then he said to them all, this is Jesus speaking, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life would lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. What is Jesus talking about here? He says, you know what? You want to get to heaven?
You must deny yourself and carry your cross daily and follow me. In other words, Jesus needs to come first. That's a condition. You see, the problem is a lot of people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. We got a problem there. Jesus has got to be the most important thing. He's got to become the most important person in your life if you're going to make it. Are you with me? You see, many people today want to come to America and to come visit the United States. If you walk into any United States embassy overseas, they have certain conditions that you have to meet before they grant you a visitor's visa. I'm talking of just a visit. They want to see your bank statement. In other words, you want to go visit America? Fine. They want to find out if you can afford it. Sometimes they will ask you for a letter from your employer to see that you're coming back. Sometimes they will ask you for your marriage certificate and ask you if you have kids to find out if you're going to come back to be with those kids. They have very strict conditions. You don't just walk in and say, hey, I want to go to the U.S. and they give you a visa. It doesn't work like that. Okay, I've been through it. I went through it many, many years. A lot of times you have to go line up from 3 a.m. in the morning. That's how bad it is. Just to get a visitor's visa. But you see, you got to come in there with the condition. They have their conditions. And I forget one time I went in the U.S. Embassy. And I was trying to get a visa. And, you know, on the form they ask you your occupation. I wrote there, obviously, minister. And come the time, they called me up to the window. And I kid you not, the lady starts asking me questions from the Bible. She asked me a question. Boom, I gave her the answer. Number two, she asked. I answered. Number three, she asked, I answered. Number four, she asked, I answered. Then number five, she said, who is the mother of so-and-so in the Bible? And I thought, wait a second. The Bible doesn't tell us that one. And at that point, she smiled. She said, yeah, you're really a minister. I said, why are you asking me all these questions? She goes, you won't imagine the amount of people that show up here claiming they're ministers. And they're just looking for a visa to go to the U.S. and never come back. I was like, wow, this is what it's come to. You see, Jesus is the same way. He says, you want to follow him? He's got to come first. Not only that, look in Luke 14. He lays down some very important conditions here. In Luke 14, in verse 26, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, there's a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 10. He's not asking us to hate our fathers and mothers. As a matter of fact, the passage in Matthew says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. In other words, we got to put even Jesus before our family members. I'm sorry, you want to go to heaven? Dad can't be number one. I got news for you. Your mother cannot be number one. Your spouse can't be number one. It's got to be Jesus. Amen? To me, it's very clear. And then, look further down in verse 33. Same passage. Luke 14:33, it says, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. In other words, anything that this world has to offer you, you got to give it up for you to go to heaven. It's a condition. Amen? Maybe for you it's a job. Maybe it's making money. Maybe it's a relationship. I don't know what it is for you. But
This passage still reads the same today in 2010 than it did back in the first century when they wrote it. It's got to be the most important thing. You got to give it all up. But you know what's exciting about that passage? Later on, you know, Peter reminds Jesus, hey, Lord, we gave up everything to follow you. And you know what he said? He says, anyone who has given up mothers and fathers and homes and children, my sake, will receive 100 times over in this life. And then in the end, eternal life. I mean, so it's not as if you give up everything. It's like, okay, what's it is for me, Lord? See, I'm going to give you 100 times over what you gave up. To me, that's exciting. You know, in my natural family, there are just 3 of us. But guess what? As a Christian, I got a lot of brothers and sisters. I got brothers and sisters all over this world. It's amazing. I can pick up the phone right now. You can pick up the phone. And here you are. You want to go to Hong Kong. You don't have money to stay in a hotel. Someone's going to put you up for free and even feed you. Why? Because you're a fellow brother in Christ or fellow sister in Christ. They'll come in, open up their homes, tell you where everything is. Here, here's the fridge. Eat whatever you want. And you do the same for people too. Why? Because we're in the kingdom of God. Because now we have a lot more mothers, a lot more fathers, a lot more brothers. It's all good. Amen? That's what it's all about. Yes, he wants everything. But he gives it back to you many times over. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I'm not a very adventurous person. I'm not. It's just, that's just me. Okay? Some of us, we love the great outdoors. We love to do new things. I'm not that kind of person. I can be in my house for 24 hours and it doesn't bother me. Some people want to go climb mountains and go hiking and go camping. To me, that's work. Okay? That's stressful. And I'll do it, you know, probably once, but that's it. The same thing it was, I'm serious. Back in Africa, where I'm from. Oh, let's go on safari, let's go to a game park. It's like, come on, man, I've seen one elephant, I've seen them all. Why do we have to keep going back? It doesn't make sense to me. I've seen one rhino, I've seen them all. They don't look any different. That's just me. But you see, we have something incredible waiting for us. Heaven is going to be an adventure. Now, honestly, that one I'm looking forward to. Okay? That's the only adventure I'm looking forward to. I got to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to that one. But you see, I was thinking the other day, because I've been a Christian now 24 years, I have been to places on this earth that I would have never gone if I was just an ordinary Christian. Now, I feel being a minister has a lot to do with it too, because I've gone places, honestly, I would have never gone in my life. It's like, why would I go there? What for? But it's okay, we got to go preach, or we got to go serve people, we got to go whatever, let's go do it. And as a result of that, I've been to a lot of places on this earth, a lot. The most beautiful place I have ever been to so far in my life, and I've been to a lot of places, is Cape Town, South Africa. Breathtaking. In terms of just sheer beauty. Now, for some of you, you may say, well, it's Yosemite National Park. Fine, I haven't been to Yosemite yet, but one day, one of these days, I'll get there. And maybe that Yosemite is the most beautiful place. I don't know. But I'm just saying for me, the most beautiful place I've been to is Cape Town, South Africa. But you know, heaven, there is nothing on this side that you can even begin to compare it to. That's why I believe every time we turn around the corner, we're just going to be saying, wow, wow, wow. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have something incredible to look forward to. Amen? I just want to encourage you guys this morning. I hope I'm getting the job done. Because if this does not fire you up, guess what? You got some serious issues. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 1. Watch this. Listen to what Paul writes. He says, now we know. Wow, look at the time. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. Watch this. Not built by human hands. Bowen didn't build this house. You know, there's some pretty good builders around here. He says, this house that you and I are going to occupy, it wasn't built by human hands. That's enough right there. He says, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, talking about this life, we groan and are burdened. Because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Amen? It talks about how we have a heavenly dwelling but not built by human hands. Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house there are many mansions. He says, if we were not so, I would have told you. He says, but I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you so that you can be with me. Church, does that fire you on up? So you can take my house in this life. You can have it. I'm looking forward to what's on the other side. That's what keeps me going. What keeps you going? You see, church, if we're not careful, the worries of this life will get you to take your eyes off what's most important. And that's all the devil is trying to do. Is to get you to take your eyes off the finish line. Because if he can get you distracted enough, and get you doubting enough, then you are not going to make it. If it can get you to question what the Bible teaches and not do this, all of it, then he knows you're not going to make it. The devil is not stupid. I happen to believe he's very, very smart. Don't you underestimate the evil one. The devil is smarter than all of us put together. But now, God is more powerful than he is. He doesn't want to go to hell by himself. And that's why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 that he has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. That's why they can't see what you and I see. Are you with me, church? That's why, you know what, here I am, I'm on my way to heaven. Yeah, I'm going to have a good time. I'm trying to drag as many people as I can with me. This is not one of those banquets where, the less of us, the merrier for me. No. There's not going to be any shortage on that, on the other side. We got to grab as many people as we can with us. Let me ask you this, seriously, church, disciple, when was the last time you converted somebody to Christ? Or has being a disciple just become, I go to church every week and I give my tithe? You've lost it somewhere along the way. And again, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. People are open. They're searching. People don't know what you know in the scriptures. We live in the South, the most religious part of the entire United States. But they are religiously wrong when it comes to the scriptures and salvation. You know it, and I know it. Why wouldn't you open your mouth Why would you allow that person's exterior or appearance or whatever it is they do in life to intimidate you? Heaven beckons. That man, that woman's eternal destiny is at stake. You've got to say something. You got to open up your mouth. Amen? As you go, you share the message. You're in grocery store. The lady's taking care of your whatever. You know, say something. Amen? It needs to be that when the time does come, when we're all getting over there, man, we're taking thousands and thousands of people with us. That's what it's all about, starting with our members of our families. You got to start in your own house first. Because if I don't convert the members of my family, who's going to do it for me? Amen? All these kids, it's not the church that's going to convert them. It's you. It starts in your house. I take care of my house. Now, praise God, we can help each other. But it's not the church's responsibility. It's not the teen ministry's job to convert our teens for us. Amen? It's our job as parents. You better believe. I sit down with my kids, I'm going to open up the Bible. I'm not waiting for the sisters to do it. I know the Bible. What's up, child? Have a seat. Open up to this. Let's talk about this. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. Amen? Heaven beckons. That's what should keep us going every single day. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm not going to read that one. Write the reference down. Verses 4 to 9. It talks about the riches of God's grace. God's grace is wonderful. It talks about the riches of God's grace. You say, Richard, what does that mean? I don't know. But it sounds incredible. If I knew, I'd tell you. I don't know. It sounds wonderful. That's what's awaiting us on the other side. John, in writing Revelation, when he saw glimpses of heaven, he says, you know what? I saw things that I can't even begin to describe. So in Ephesians 2, it talks about the riches of God's grace. It's going to blow your mind. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 6, Paul was able to write, you see, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me, watch this, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, Paul writes, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We all know what a crown is, right? We've seen enough TV, and we've seen kings and queens, you know, put a crown on. We've seen enough, you know, children's plays, Christmas plays, they wear a crown. We know what that is. We are going to have a crown of righteousness. You say, what does that mean? I don't know. But it sounds incredible. I mean, I don't know how to explain that. How do you put on righteousness as a crown? Wow. But that's one of the things we got waiting for us. Amen? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. That's why no matter what happens, you got to hang in there. You can never give up. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong place. In verse 20. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies, get this, so that they will be like his glorious body. I mean, that's incredible to me. It reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. Amen? I'm sorry, you're not an American. Next time, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Next time, I'm going to say, where are you from? Tell them heaven. That's what the Bible says, our citizenship is from. Amen? I was in an elevator the other day. A lady says, where to? I said, London. Ah, you missed it. Never mind. When somebody asks you, where are you from? Tell them heaven. That's why it says our citizenship is from. It says one day, God is going to transform our lowly bodies into his glorious body. I don't totally get it. But when I read about Jesus and some of the stuff he did, they were pretty incredible. I mean, I'm looking forward to being able to walk on water, man. I'm just going to be sliding. That's going to be fun. No jet ski or nothing. I mean, I'm just going to be sliding. You're going to be doing the same thing too? Jesus will just show up places. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. Boom, I'm gone. Next thing, boom, I show up in Jamaica. That's exciting. You are going to be able to do that too. This is the kind of thing Jesus did. Amen? It's going to be incredible. No diabetes, no high blood pressure, no kind of sickness, no headaches, no bad eyesight. Nothing. Everything's going to be perfect. Sorry, Dr. Andreas, they're not going to need you guys in heaven. Mary Joy, don't take it personally. There's not going to need for doctors in heaven. Because everybody's going to be perfect. Nobody's going to get sick. Nobody's going to die anymore. Amen? That's what we have a chance to look forward to. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. I need to wrap this up. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Watch this. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer all kinds of trials. You have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. They have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Salvation is both an event and a process. Are you with me? It talks about an inheritance that can never spoil, perish, or fade. Kept where? In heaven for us. Not here. Too many of us want to get our inheritance here. It doesn't work that way. So quit asking. Because you're not going to get it. There's some things that are meant for the other side. Are you with me? There's some things that are meant for this side, praise God. You know, Jesus never promised that life is just going to be easy for us. There's going to be challenges, there's going to be ups and downs. But the thing is, he promises that every single step, I will be there with you. I had a rough week. I finally didn't pass the bar exam. It's very disappointing. I'm not disappointing myself. It was very disappointing. I want to just do it once and get it over with. I came within 8 points of passing what is called the MBE. You got to get a certain score before they will even grade your essays. So they didn't grade my essays. But the brothers have been very encouraging, helping me understand that, you know what, after 22 years, full-time job, I didn't do any review course. I came within 8 points of passing that section. And I got to say, you know what, I got to rejoice. And I got to take it again. It's like somebody gave me a left hook. It's okay. That staggered me a little bit, but guess what? I'm getting up. I'm not staying down there. It's not possible. I can take a punch, but I got to get up. You are not a failure until you stop trying. You are not a failure until you've given up. Life is too short to give up on anything. Are you with me? But see, I got something much, much better to look forward to. You know, many, many years ago, there was a song that came out. Some of you may remember. It amazes me how these kids know all the words to all these songs these days. Even songs that were from back then, they know the words. Anyway, I don't even know who sang the song. I know it just went something like, I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down. That's the way I feel. Okay? Honestly, as we're on this journey to heaven, we're going to get knocked down. Okay? We're going to trip. You got to get up. You got to keep going. Heaven is going to be inhabited by people who overcame. Only overcomers will end up there. Are you listening to me? I got to read this verse. I got a lot of stuff I've written out, but I'm not going to get to it. Revelation 21. Oh, I love this passage. Revelation 21. Verse 1. John writes, and this is where we're going to wrap up. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. And there was no longer any sea. Praise the Lord. No more seasickness. No more drowning. For those of us who can't swim. I saw the holy city, verse 2. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. And he will live with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was sitting on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my child. Amen. Amen. And so I'm asking you, I know, are you an overcomer? Are you an overcomer? I can't hear you. Are you an overcomer? Do you want to get to heaven? Yes. You got to keep getting up and keep going. Because it is going to be worth it. The best, church, is yet to come. It is going to blow your mind. God bless you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord and Father in heaven, we thank you so much for today's worship service. There is no more important place to be than here right now. Father, we thank you so much for forgiving us, for loving us, for giving to us all that you have given us. Father in heaven, I don't even know what living in a house not built by human hands is like, Father, but I certainly look forward to it. I know my heart was set on fire with great anxiety, you know, just thinking about the possibility of walking on streets of gold. Father, that's amazing. And we thank you for just giving us that to look forward to and also just spending eternity with you. Father in heaven, we thank you for the three men that were baptized over this past week. Father, we thank you so much. We pray that you allow us to bear more fruit in your name. Father in heaven, we pray so much for the men and women who are currently studying the Bible. We pray that you see them all the way through, Father, and use us as your chosen instruments. Father in heaven, I pray so much for the men who had birthdays and the women who had birthdays. We pray that you allow them to see many more. Father in heaven, we pray that we take the message about heaven and just loving you more than life itself and carrying that throughout our week, Father. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for just so many things we can't even imagine that you do for us on a daily basis, Father. Father, many people didn't even live to see this weekend, but you've spared us and you've allowed us to be here. We thank you for who you are and all that you do for us. We pray for those who could not make it today. We pray that you take care of them and keep them safe. Those who are struggling, Father, we pray that you comfort them. Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are once again. We pray that you see us safely throughout our week and see us home safely. These things and all things we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Reminder, we have choir rehearsal today between 12 and 1 backstage. And also, someone left their keys. I'll be at the front of the stage. You can come and claim them. Amen. You are dismissed.